All right, since we are recording, I guess that means it is time to get started. Let's see here. I would like to call this meeting to order. It is 4:03. The Commission on Equitable Housing and Development meeting has now commenced. It is June 4th at 4:03, as I mentioned. This is a virtual meeting. We ask that you mute yourselves until called upon to speak, to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone, and only use the chat function to request to speak. Also, to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio. And with that, I will do the roll call. Maggie Amado-Tellez.
Present.
Mindy Bernstein.
Present in two places.
I know. I was like, if we don't make quorum, we got two Mindy, so that might work. Vicky Cusino. Logan Havens. Lori Meserbo. Ann Miskey.
Present.
Robert Ojeda. Tisha Tallman. Alan Solot. Jim Toefel,
Here.
Kenny Wong,
Here.
and Jay Young. That is me, and I am here. Ex officio members, Ann Chaneka,
Here.
Corin Manning,
Here.
Marcos Ismail, and Michael Edmonds.
I am here.
Hey, Mike. Okay, we have a quorum, and next I would like to seek approval for the April, no, I guess it would be the May meeting minutes. Does anybody have anything that they need to add? Well, first of all, did the minutes go out for the May meeting? Did we receive them?
I don't recall seeing.
I don't either.
Okay. I think Netto should have sent them out, but I can drop them in the chat. We have them
Isn't he on
on our
vacation?
website.
Can we? Isn't he on vacation? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he is, but I'll take it over.
Okay.
Since we have not received the meeting minutes for May until now, they'll go into the chat. I'm sure we will also get an email, but I would suggest that we give folks time to review that and approve them at the next meeting if that's okay with everybody. Okay, next I'd like to briefly review the agenda. So, after this opening, we've got a call to the audience for a few minutes, city and county updates, reports from subcommittees, which will only be one report since I think only one of the two met. Then we will talk about our work plan for the year, and specifically, there's been a request for us to look into the Housing Trust Fund for the city and how we can put billions of dollars in there somehow. I don't know, but we'll figure that out. And then just a couple more things, mayor and council extension of CEHD very briefly, and then next step. So as you can see, we've got a pretty short agenda today. So we'll see how we get through it. Maybe get out of here a little earlier than normal. So with that, I'll move on to the next agenda item, which is the call to the audience. The call to the audience is limited to 3 minutes per speaker and a total of 10 minutes. All speakers must share their name to be recorded in the meeting minutes. Please remember, is there anybody in the audience before I start telling people what they can and cannot do?
Yes, my name's Gina Rossi.
Okay, so we do have somebody that wants to speak. I didn't catch that exactly.
Gina, GINAROSSI.
Okay. So the call to the audience may not result into discussion with members of the CEHD. No legal action may take place during the call to the audience, and speakers may not be disruptive. CEHD members may only respond to criticism and request that items be placed on a future agenda for discussion. And finally, members of the audience may still participate on agenda items as per the bylaws of CEHD. So the floor is open. Please speak if you're in the audience.
Sure. I just wanted to thank you all for everything you're doing, but also I've been a Tucson resident since 1992, and I have seen more homeless people just get dumped out of the hospitals to the street. And I just wanted to share what happened to me yesterday. Yesterday, I went to CVS on Speedway in Alvernon. A woman, probably 70 pounds, came and approached me, crying, black eyes, hospital bracelet had just been. Hospital banner just dropped her off in the middle of Speedway in Alvernon. She asked somebody for a cigarette or water and she got slugged. So she was sitting in on the curb of CVS just crying. I asked her if she was okay. She said no, and she felt like she was going to die, but she might as well just do it. So I called, 211. I stayed with her. I got her water. And then when 211 came, unfortunately, she wasn't willing to let go of her bag. It was the only bag she had, which had her family pictures and everything. They were going to make her put it in the trunk. And she had just lost some stuff at the hospital. So they just unfortunately put her back on the curb. So I don't know what we have in place as a city of Tucson where we could let in the 100-degree heat a woman, 38 years old, Leah, originally from Safford, crying, coughing, black eye, 70 pounds, dehydrated. And the 211 ladies were wonderful, but at the end of the day, when I left, she was, I got her prepared for the night, but unfortunately, I left her there as well. So I just wanted to, I don't know if we can do something with the hospitals just dropping people off in the middle of the street. And her bracelet, she had two hospital bracelets on, so I don't think, and the 211, they called me afterwards to ask me if I knew anything else about her, and they said they were really concerned about that as well. So that's it. I just thank you guys for what you're doing, and if there's something, and I don't know if you're the right board, but if there's something we can do to look into that, it seems inhumane.
Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention and for coming to the meeting today. We really appreciate it. Is there anybody?
And I just wanted to thank Gina.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Is there anyone in the anyone else in the audience who would like to speak?
There are no hands.
All righty. With that, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is city and county updates. HCD is up first.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. And thanks, Gina. If Gina's still on, I know how hard those situations can be. Speaking of providing resources to the unhoused, tomorrow is Hope in the Park. So it's from 9 to 2 at Rudy Garcia Park on South Nogales Highway. If you're not familiar with this event, it happens a couple times a year, and various city departments partner up with community organizations and offer a variety of on-site services in the park. So it's a pretty incredible event, and something that I think bringing a bunch of services to one place to help support people is pretty helpful. Every time they do this event, they need volunteers. So something to keep in mind for future events like this. And then next week, I always like to give you all a preview of mayor and council items that involve housing issues. So next week is our quarterly Public Housing Authority Board of Commissioners meeting. So I think many of you know that in addition to the city of Tucson doing what the city of Tucson does, we are also the public housing authority for the region. So under that umbrella, we administer the Housing Choice Voucher Program as well as public housing. And so the HUD rules require us to have a separate board of commissioners. And so every quarter, the board of commission meets in person. It is the mayor and council and then one resident commissioner who is currently a Housing Choice Voucher participant. And so there's a lot of items on next week's agenda because we're getting to the end of the fiscal year and we have a lot of HUD requirements. So, for instance, the annual budget needs to be adopted, and some other programmatic requirements. Happy to go into more on that. A second item that's on the agenda, as many of you know, we work closely with Pima County on what used to be the Knights Inn, but now they call it the Craycroft. It is the Pima County shelter that primarily serves households who are currently going through an eviction. And so we have had an agreement with them for a couple of years. Our current intergovernmental agreement expires at the end of this month. So we have another amendment to continue the relationship we have with them for another year. In June, we have a couple Thrive events. So many of you are familiar with our 29th Street Thrive Zone. There is a community meeting on June 10th from 5 to 6:45 at the Freedom Park Center. If any commissioners are interested in learning more about 29th Street Thrive, those are great meetings to see what's happening in what I would say is our newer of the Thrive Zones. And then our longstanding Thrive Zone, Thrive in the 05, we are having our about twice a year, we do a fiesta at the Pima Community College campus. And so that will be June 16th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. At that event will be updates on all the housing projects we have going on in the Thrive in the 05, as well as information on some of the funding we have to do community projects. So that should be an informative meeting on June 16th at 5:30. Again, I really appreciated Gina's call to the audience. It is summer, it is hot. As a reminder, there are a lot of cooling centers that are established in the summer. We can send out more information about the cooling centers. I do want to mention that there is a new center this year. The Ward 6 Council Office is hosting a cooling center, and I bring it up because, for a few different reasons, they have some staff that have been engaged with mutual aid organizations running the cooling center who have relationships with both persons experiencing homelessness as well as shelter and outreach providers. So, in their first week, and it was last week where it wasn't the hottest weeks yet, they saw pretty decent numbers. There's a shower at Ward 6. So, I think that's a newer model that I think is worth keeping an eye on this summer. Two more updates for those of you. I know you all spent a lot of time last year thinking about how to help mayor and council and advise mayor and council on issues related to homelessness, and you learned a lot about Tucson Pima collaboration to end homelessness. The annual notice of funding for continuum of care funding, in which TPCH is a continuum of care. So that funding application was released on Monday. Some of you may recall last year was a series of funding application releases that were pretty awful, to be honest, in terms of the reducing funding. If they ended up getting canceled, but had last year's ended up going into effect, it likely would have resulted in a lot less funding to the Tucson region. So on Monday, the funding application was released. I am not an expert. I really appreciate Kat Davis and the continuum of care staff, HCD staff that are working on it. I did get an overview from Kat on it. It's less bad. There are some positives that a lot of the really awful aspects of last year's are a little bit better, even in some cases, more than a little better than what had been proposed. It's still, I would say, challenging. And so, to give some examples, In an average year, 90% of the funding is protected of the continuum and 10% is competitive. And so this particular, it's the fiscal year 2026 notice of funding, 60% is protected and 40% will have to be competed for. And so to put that in scale for the Tucson region, if we lost 40% of the funding, that would be over $7 million that would be lost to the region in funding to support the unhoused. So there's still some challenges. This region and TPCH, based on best practices, evidence-based research, a lot of organizations and the continuum support a housing-first approach. There's a lot of misinformation that that means housing only. In fact, HUD released a video saying that, which is challenging because that's not accurate. As many of you know, we follow a housing-first approach for the city services that we provide, and we absolutely offer substance use treatment options. It's just not a requirement as part of entry. So it is not housing only. There is a wide variety of services offered. And in fact, there are for instance, the clients who are at our shelter absolutely have to engage in trying to figure out some services as part of their housing. But it's low barrier, which is shown by best practices to be the most successful approach. So there's still some challenges. There are some good parts to it. For instance, there is funding available for the first time for unstably housed. So for families with children and youth who do have a place to live but are experiencing housing instability. So we see that as a potential opportunity. And then there is a preference for older adults. So we know that's one of our fastest growing unhoused populations. And so we see some of that as positive. So it's a mixed bag. And if folks have questions on that, TPCH has been already working diligently to figure out what will be most competitive for the region to try to keep as much funding as possible. And then my last update, the just wanted to give it some commission updates. And Jay, maybe it makes more sense to wait until we talk about going to mayor and council, but just a couple vacancies. Mayor and council still have one vacancy. I know they are working on trying to fill that seat, and in fact, there's a very great candidate that I know they are working to fill the seat with. So, hoping that happens soon. We, as you heard last time, on a positive note, we hired Serena to work for the city of Tucson, but that does leave a youth seat. I have a recommendation actually from the mayor's office for somebody that potentially would be a good candidate for the youth seat. So, I'm trying to follow that lead. And then we still have an open seat for an affordable housing developer. And so, if someone has recommendations on that, I'd be interested in hearing them. It can be a small scale developer, it can be a larger developer. The one requirement which limits the pool when it comes to developers is they have to either live within the city of Tucson limits or they're primary business location needs to be within the city of Tucson limits. So, if anyone has any suggestions on that, let me know. And then, one, in thinking about the commission, as Jay will talk about, the extension of extending the commission for the future, a couple logistical board and commission reminders. One thing I'd be interested in doing this year that some other commissions have done is kind of putting together a welcome packet for new commissioners that helps kind of outline how the commissions work, what the requirements are. So throwing that out there. So for instance, one of the requirements to be on the commission, this is basically any city commission, so you're not supposed to miss four meetings in a row or 40% of the annual meetings. And if you do, technically the clerk's office is supposed to remove you immediately. And so just wanted to give a reminder that attendance is important and trying to reminder about what the rules are to be on commissions. So that's my updates. Jim, do you have a good developer for me?
I'm thinking the person that replaced Marianne Beerling. His name is Tony Sims. He
Yeah.
I just sent him a text and asked him if he was interested, but there's not a lot of, like, I can't think of any for-profit affordable housing except for one person, but I don't think he'd be good for the commission.
Yeah, and we're open. I'll say I had pursued trying to find someone who does smaller missing middle type housing. And so I had pursued an avenue there, but that person that was recommended indicated they're too busy. Understandable. So I'm open. Thanks, Jim. That's helpful. And I will see if I'll try to reach out to Tony and see if he's interested as well.
Yeah, I think they're in line. We'll know tomorrow, but I think they're in line to get a rehab of Glenstone, which is a 9%.
Does it only have to be affordable housing developers? I mean, that is pretty narrow, so.
I would say, based on our affordable housing impact fee subsidy, we can say, and also based on potentially the Road to Housing Act, they are kind of expanding affordable housing eligibility categories to about 100% of area median income. And so the thing that we don't want is higher end market, just because it's very different when we're thinking about equitable development. But I think more housing we know is needed, so stretching it to anywhere from permanent supportive housing up to 100% area median income in that category could work.
And also, I mean, if we literally can't get anybody to fit that position, then I mean, maybe we should think a little bit more deeply about what the position is actually for. Because if nobody can fill it, then it just goes unfilled. But anyway, we can keep that combo going. Did I see a hand go up?
Yeah, but I took it down.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Anne. I really also appreciate you highlighting the misinformation about Housing First. I mean, it's been pretty shocking for me to see people that clearly could get the evidence and tell the truth about it are not doing so, because really they're not telling the truth about it. So appreciate you bringing that to our attention. And I would just advise anybody to who hasn't seen some of that propaganda to take a look at it and see what we're up against, because we know that that is the model that at least seems to be working the best, and that's what evidence shows. And if we're not allowed to do that, we're going to have a hard time dealing with the homelessness that was brought to our attention earlier from the call to the audience. So anyway, I will get off my soapbox at this point and turn it over to you, Corn. I'm assuming you're going to talk for PDSD.
Yeah, just a couple of quick updates. Thank you, Jay. One is that we are working on a code amendment right now that it's a package that we're calling Code Tucson. It's Community Ordinances and Development Enhancements. And we have released a draft of that code package, and it does include a few elements around removing barriers to housing development, most notably a new tool that's kind of a follow-up from the middle housing ordinance that we passed last year that would actually allow a middle housing subdivision. So would allow a site that has built ADUs or middle housing to subdivide those into smaller lots to really promote more affordable or attainable home ownership. So We are doing a round of community outreach on this code package right now, and we held one meeting this week, and we'll have another public meeting this coming Monday, June 8th, a virtual meeting at 11 a.m. So I just put some information in the chat. So please feel free to attend or share that information. And you can find the full code proposal online as well. I'll share that too. So that's something we're working on right now that again has a few housing pieces to it. And then I just also wanted to let everyone know that middle housing, we have seen a lot of interest. We've had over 30 applications for middle housing since that code went into effect at the beginning of this year. So in just about 5 months, representing over 60 housing units. So we're really encouraged to see the strong interest right off the bat, and we think that'll grow more as we make that tool more accessible to the public, kind of just continue to share information. We've done an info session, but we're going to continue to put resources out there and do plan to do a middle housing design competition in the near future, kind of over the summer, and build a model plan library for middle housing. That's it for PDSD.
Great, thanks so much, Corinne. Would there be any possibility of PDSD doing a presentation to the commission about the code package that you're discussing?
Absolutely. Yeah, we could schedule that for next month or whenever there's, excuse me, time on the agenda.
Would there be interest in that from the commission? See some nods, some thumbs. Okay. We will tomorrow work on the agenda for the next meeting, and I will remember to bring that up, and you will probably hear from us soon, Corin.
Sounds great.
Great, thank you. Any comments or questions before we move on to the next agenda item? All right, up next we have reports from subcommittees. I can just say that as far as the development and innovation subcommittee is concerned, we did not meet. Serena had agreed to serve as the chair, and she is gone. So we are looking for a chair. So whoever is on that committee, if you are interested, I guess you can let me know. But we need a chair to really get that going again. So with that, I will turn it over to you, Anne.
Great, thank you. So I get the whole time.
You get the whole time.
Okay, so let me, I'm just going to pull up my notes. So I want to thank.
Before we move on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
So we have a meeting scheduled next Tuesday, the 9th, for Housing Innovation Development. So are we saying that that's not going to happen, or what are we thinking about for the next meeting?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we should just go ahead and meet and figure out who's gonna lead us forward.
Okay. I was going to ask if we could push it 1 week. I have a conflict.
I mean,
So
it's not totally up to me, but I don't see why we can't try to do
pushing
that.
to the, this would be the 16th, and it's at noon.
I think HCD, we can change that and get that updated.
Okay.
Lena, when we meet tomorrow, let's remember the PDSD presentation and then looking at rescheduling. That would be excellent.
Sounds
All
good.
right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Because
Thanks, Lena.
I do want to participate on it.
Cool. Okay, back to you, Anne.
Okay, great. Thanks. So we've met a couple times in our committee and really sort of hashed out the direction we think we can go and also that is doable for a small but mighty committee. And I think many of the things we've actually discussed are very appropriate considering some of the things we've talked about today. So in the end, we came up with four priorities for our committee. Some will be more short term, some will be more long term. So I'll just go through what those four priorities are and kind of how we what we've started on and what our plans are. So the first piece that we are focusing on is public education and information on homelessness to what you said, Jay, about the misperceptions around housing first and a lot of stuff that's coming out now. Forced treatment, all the things that have been, been there, done that, absolutely was a dramatic failure, and they're returning to that. So we're going to start with, I don't, we don't have a name for it. Sort of the working title is talking about homelessness, and it is going to be a short, kind of concise overview around the issue. And this will be a guide for people. I think it might be very useful for example, city councilors. And it's kind of everything you wanted to know, but in very short form. So, for example, we will have some stats about Tucson, how many people experience homelessness, what are the various population groups, things about what are the causes of homelessness, the true causes, as well as what are the factors that make people more vulnerable to homelessness, i.e., mental health, addiction, loss of job, those things, but we know they're not causes. Then we're going to talk briefly about what are evidence-based practices and get into specifics. What is housing first? What does that mean? What is trauma? All of those kinds of things. We have a draft circulating amongst our committee members for feedback. I am also happy to send it to the full commission. That was our plan. I was trying to see if we could get some committee feedback first, but if anybody's interested in seeing it, it's very much in draft. We're looking for comments, suggestions, edits. One question that came up is, would the development side of things like to include some things about housing, i.e., maybe what are the shortages we have, any of the issues, again, but very, very, very short form. We produce something like this in Los Angeles, and I did it actually for my board. Some of my staff got a hold of it and said, oh my God, these are outreach people who know the answers already, but they said it was so helpful just as a quick, check. So our if, take a look, see what you think. Our hope is to produce it and provide it again to anyone basically who wants it. But we also thought out about reaching out to things like neighborhood councils, and it just gives them, and then we would have maybe some a QR code or links if they want further information or for resources. But we know the resource piece is pretty much done, and we would do links to that. So that's our first. We're working on it. We're hoping to get that done in the next couple of months, depending on vacation. The second priority we've come up with is really around community conversations and collaboration. One of the things that's very clear is a group of, five people can't do all of this work. But what we can do is connect with agencies, organizations, individuals, and really start having conversations about this piece. I've already spoken to some folks from some local service providers. The communication piece, the myths around homelessness is a huge issue that they often don't have a lot of resources for. They're dealing with the service side of things. So they're very interested in working with us about how do we as a community amplify the truth about homelessness. So one of the things we're looking at with our committee is starting to have conversations with key people. I really would like the full commission to, weigh in if you have suggestions or if you know somebody if you'd like to have the conversation. So, we're looking, collaboration, again, education and public awareness issues. Lots of stuff going on about services. That's not what we're taking on. We're taking on that PR piece. Community engagement opportunities and public presence. I love Anne, you talked about all the things that are coming up. And I did talk to Nato about this. If we could actually get a list of things that are happening, say on a monthly basis, and if especially where having someone from the commission present would be really a great thing, or if it's speaking at a city council meeting, whatever, what we want to do as a committee is actually divvy those responsibilities up so we make sure we have a presence at various things and that we're really in support of the work that's being done, the great work, I gotta say, done by the city and the county. So if we could sort of formalize it in a way that doesn't add a lot of burden to you folks, but gives us the opportunity to pre-plan and think about who could be where. And then the fourth piece is really about a speaker and learning series. And we're looking at this in two ways. People that might just come and speak to our committee, also coordinate with the broader commission to say, are there some people that we could bring in? or potentially even opportunities to speak more broadly. Our thought was we would alternate between people that are local, both from a lived experience perspective, organizational perspective, expertise, but also start tapping into what's going on in the rest of the country. Start bringing in some people with Zoom, all is possible. I already have listed a few speakers. Again, would love feedback about who are some ideas, who are some thoughts. And again, coordinate, Jay, with the commission in terms of would this be somebody really good to have speak to the full commission? And maybe there are opportunities to have people speak more broadly. So those are the four areas that we're working on. Like I say, the sort of short guide, at a glance guide to homelessness, we're already working on. And then we're going to start developing the others. So if anybody has questions, comments, Anne.
And thank you. It's incredibly helpful to hear all the amazing thoughts you all are having. Something you said did make me think of something I didn't mention and wonder if someone on your subcommittee might be interested in participating. We are doing, for the first time in a really long time, we are hosting an event in June for our Housing Choice Voucher landlords. And I will say when we go do work engaging about affordable housing, the number of times I've heard, we're okay if it's affordable housing, we just don't want Section 8. And every time I think about how many Section 8 families, housing voucher families, win the lottery and are when they get that voucher and they're incredible tenants. So the stigma around voucher participants is huge. And so on Thursday, June 25th, we are hosting a celebration for our landlords. And that could be a chance for folks on the commission to engage with housing voucher landlords who I think many of which would talk about how incredible their voucher holders are. So, but really inspired by that work and pretty excited. And we're happy to provide in the monthly packet, we can do a list of what we know of. And I think that might be fun too to have other community partners also share what they're up to during that month too.
That's great. That's really exciting. And I would love to sometime and talk to you just because we did a lot of work around landlords very successfully because we all hit this issue. I would just, love to hear what you're doing. And sorry, that was an aside, but love it. Marked it down. Any other questions or?
Mindy, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a neighbor who has an apartment complex, frequently vents about the section. He hates having Section 8 individuals come in and has stopped bringing in Section 8 because there's no wraparound services for people when they start to decompensate. I think I'm talking more specifically about people with serious mental illnesses who finally got their Section 8 housing. And the pickings are so bad. Most of the Section 8 housing that people are left to choose from is bad to worse. Cockroaches, bed bugs in the most drug-infested areas, unsafe. The look around I want to celebrate the ones that do accept, of course. And I'm wondering if there's a way for there to be some outreach to the apartment owners that are hesitant to work with Section 8, to work with them a little bit more closely and engage them into trying again. But we need to have the wraparound services. And
Just,
that's.
Mindy, I do agree more services to all families experiencing housing instability would be great. A couple of misconceptions, though. No one can live in a voucher unit unless it passes an inspection and meet safety standards, and that's we take that very seriously. And so no voucher holder is living in, and I realize there is a scale of quality, but it absolutely has to meet basic health and safety standards. And then as a other reminder, there is a source of income protection ordinance. So landlords within the city of Tucson can't legally say, we don't take Section 8. And if that is something that people say, we work on explaining and educating what the source of income ordinance is.
And just in response, having placed people in Section 8, helping, assisting people finding Section 8 housing, we'll find something that looks clean at the inspection, and then the landlords allow it to go back to, we could have the back and forth about this that I can collect data for you if you want.
Yeah, and anytime we get any complaints from any voucher holders that the conditions inhumane, we schedule emergency inspections. And so if you do hear of folks that are in conditions, make sure they say reach out to the voucher program.
So, the only thing I would ask is if anybody on the commission, members or ex officio are interested in seeing the at a glance guide, would like to make comments on it, let me know. And I would love to connect again with some of the city folks just to really track kind of other things that are going around education, community engagement, because I don't want to step on toes and I don't want to overlap. But where we can really assist and get this brought to broader attention, I think it's really important in the times we live in. It's always been an issue. Right now, it's worse. And there's so many people have misperceptions about mental health and addiction and what should be done that are is actually harmful and not effective. So I think it's a real priority right now. So anyway, just throw that out there. Let me know if you want to receive any materials. And we're excited about getting going.
Thanks so much, Anne. That also reminds me, I did have an opportunity to meet with Mayor Romero and her team, as well as a couple of other folks on the call. And a couple of things that she noted are very much in line with what you just went over. So I think that's really great. But she specifically talked about, reaching out to external partners that need to know more about this and are interested, like you mentioned, coordinating with the city. And then, she also mentioned, there's probably a lot of room for us as a commission to be out and about in the community where housing is being discussed, to be a voice for affordable housing, for support for homelessness, for homeless services, that type of thing. So, I'm really happy to hear all of the things y'all are talking about because it really did align very closely with, I think, a lot of the things that Mayor Romero noted in our discussion. So really glad to hear about that. And I love the idea also of, coordinating a little bit more with the development subcommittee, which is obviously having a little slower start than y'all, which is certainly that's fine. But I think one of the things that also came to my mind is, if out of this your subcommittee, there are things that you think are worth spending more time with the whole commission on, please do let me know, and we'll just put that on the agenda. It can be outside of the report out from the subcommittees. If you mentioned the speakers potentially, or just if you feel like there's more time needed to discuss things that y'all are working on with the full commission that, maybe all of us can get involved in that aren't on the subcommittee. So please do let me know if some things need to be surfaced to the full agenda. I think that all sounds great because I really want to, wherever the energy is, whether it's your subcommittee or, the other or just the full commission, really kind of allowing that to kind of drive what we're doing. So Really great work there. Any other questions or comments before we move on to the next agenda item? All right. The next agenda item is referencing our commission work plan. And one of the things that was brought up in the past month or so was us engaging again in the City of Tucson's Housing Trust Fund. You may remember that we deliberated as a commission to figure out how to spend the remaining funds that were there, which I don't know. That really also reminds me that I think we were going to get an update at some point about how that spending went, to put a pin in that. But I guess at this point, there wasn't a whole lot of meat on the bone, so to speak, with this, but the idea was to study and research keeping the trust fund going and how to grow it. So I don't know if anybody has thoughts on that, or if Anne, you and the HCD folks have a little bit of input about kind of what that could look like, and maybe what would be most helpful in terms of this agenda item.
One thing I'll say where I'm not, it's been a while, but Sarah Megason before had done, when we were talking about the Housing Trust Fund, had done a fair bit of research in terms of how other local governments fund their Housing Trust Fund. So that's something I'm sure we could dust off and at a future meeting share what research has been compiled in terms of how other cities. What are the mechanisms that other cities use for that?
And then, are there, aside from that information, what else might be helpful to know that the commission could, help with in terms of gathering information and potential funding sources? I know we've talked about, bonding, and we've talked about, trying to fund affordable housing some in the past. Is there, anything else that would be useful that the commission could do?
I don't know if just a couple preliminary thoughts come to my brain, but I would have to give it a little more thought. One is you've likely all seen the state of the current city local funding. It's definitely constrained right now. We went into this year's budget cycle with having to figure out how to balance the budget given changes at the state level. So local funding right now is a challenge, as is state and federal, but that doesn't mean there are opportunities. And I'll say we're hearing Pima County is likely gonna engage their bond committee, and I think that that is an area where the commission potentially could pay attention to what's happening there. And ask the county. They usually have a representative here to learn more about that. And then, like I said, I think we can provide information on what some other cities have done for their housing trust funds. And I think, you all could advise mayor and council on what you think might be valuable for Tucson.
Sounds good. Another thing I'm just thinking out loud here, but maybe one of the things that at least in the beginning to give this a little bit of momentum would be to have the development subcommittee take it on and discuss what possibilities are there. Because I think depending on how much time this may take, it might not be a bad idea to have an ad hoc subcommittee as well that's dealing with this. So again, obviously this is just very preliminary discussions. Are there any thoughts from the commission about how to move this forward? Any ideas just in general? Go ahead, Anne.
It kind of gets back to what I was talking about speakers. There are a number of other cities that have done some pretty amazing work around this, and it might be really interesting to see if we could have a few people actually come and talk about some of the things that were successful in their cities around this issue. I know people like in Seattle, LA, Portland. There are other cities that have done some really great work. So just a thought.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, it would be great to have some outside speakers, and then also, Anne, I don't know if you can contact Sarah about, the presentation that she made. I mean, that sounds like a pretty easy place to start. That would be great for the full commission as well. And Janneke.
Yeah, I'm happy to work with Ann Miskey and come up
I don't know what the best way to contact Sarah Megason, or if, she's kind of off the beat, or if we should, steal
No,
her
she's still,
presentation or what.
Corinne's here. She still works at the city in the planning department.
Okay.
And we can work with her on updating. Lena and I can sort of update the material she had put together before.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that'd be great to try and get on the next agenda for next month, if at all possible. Did I hear another hand pop up? Was that you, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little preliminary to bring up here.
Go for it anyway.
I've been talking with Dre Thompson about establishing a low interest rate loan through the IDA that could be used to basically help fill on projects or new projects. In order to do the program, she needs to raise 10% of whatever the total loan amount. It would be basically a 2 to 3% interest rate loan, interest only, payable at year by before year 30. Excuse me, which works really well for affordable housing projects. And she's talking about trying to do about a $500 million loan program, which means that she would need to raise $50 million. And so she's been talking to different entities. I think there's some there might be some large what do you call the groups, like the foundations that have grants or
Philanthropy.
what's that?
Philanthropy.
Yeah, foundations. I know Jeff Bezos's wife has a foundation, and she's been donating a lot of money for affordable housing projects, actually in Arizona. The Halley Foundation up in Phoenix, have a fund that they use for affordable housing. And the thing about this is there's a multiplier effect. I'm going to be working with her probably over the next several months to try to help get something like that established. But that's really, the problem all of these projects are having right now is they have budget gaps, and there's no sources to fill the gaps because the state is essentially broke. So they've basically wiped their housing trust fund. It was $250 million. I think it's down to 10 now, which is nothing for a state like Arizona. The city's obviously struggling. There's just not a lot of sources out there to fill these gaps. And politically right now, there are some things happening nationally that are really having a huge impact on projects. So this war in Iran is doing two things. It's causing inflation again because fuel prices have gone up, and so we're starting to see inflation again on our projects. And then it's created a lot of uncertainty in the market, and banks and lending institutions don't like uncertainty. And I think what's compounded this is that there are it's kind of weird. I was thinking about the other day, the areas in the state which have the highest area median incomes are getting the most affordable housing projects. So there's a large concentration of 4% tax credits in the Maricopa County, because they have higher AMIs and they're able to charge more for rent. So projects pencil up there better than they do down here. And what's happening is those areas that have the higher area median incomes are getting overbuilt, and now they're having a hard time leasing up. So there's a project in Glendale that Dominion just finished. It was 500 units. They finished it in January. I think it's 8% leased right now. And so that is compounding problems. So the tax credit equity rate has dropped from about 83 cents to 77 cents. And then banks are now requiring developers to lower their rents by up to 20%. And so there's a project we were working on up in Phoenix. It created a $4.5 million gap. And it just came up this last month. It's because of the areas, certain areas getting overbuilt, uncertainty in the marketplace, and basically the oversupply of tax credits. So there are huge issues right now across the state for anything to get done, and the only solution is to get another source of funding. That's it. And I think this is a really, apparently a lot of other states have this model. A lot of other IDAs have put this type of system in place, and it's a low interest rate loan. They would allow up to maybe $10 million per project, and almost every single project could get across the finish line with something like that because it's not a gift, so there's not a tax consequence. So I'm really hopeful that we can help her get that figured out, because I think it's going to make a huge difference, and it's going to make a huge difference for Tucson, because if there is a funding source like that, that's going to be able to help fill gaps and get projects done down here. Because right now we're not seeing 4% tax credits come to Tucson. They're going around the rest of the state, and something like that could make a huge difference here. But what it's going to require is fundraising, $50 million, and we're gonna, she's going to need help with that, and I'm hoping that we can get the straw man of a plan in place here in the next month or two on some way to get that started. But once, if it looks like it's going to be a real possibility, I'm definitely going to be leaning on the commission and on the city and the county and the tribes and everybody else to see if we can kind of figure this thing out.
Go ahead, Anne.
Yeah, thank you. I think, really great points. I was going to mention about a year ago, I think I spoke to an organization called Funders Together for Housing Justice. They are a national philanthropic organization that works with funders, philanthropy foundations, United Ways, community foundations all over the country. They were very interested in coming to Tucson. And, I think there might be something, and maybe we can talk to like United Way or the Community Foundation to see if they would sponsor it. There's no cost. They do it pro bono. But what they do is they bring all the private funders together, and really, talk to them about exactly the kinds of things you're talking about and how can you leverage your funds to really support housing justice, homelessness, those issues. If anybody thinks that might be a good idea. I'm happy to reach out to say United Way. It has to be funder to funder. But at the same time, these are experts. These are national experts on housing and homelessness that can really get the philanthropic community engaged. So if anybody's interested and want to chat about that, about like what message would we want, and I just think it might be an opportunity for to get philanthropy, not just in Tucson, but maybe Southern Arizona, because there's some big foundations in Phoenix that work on housing and homelessness. So just an offer and an idea.
Thanks for that, Anne. That's a great resource. I'm just wondering, Jim, if maybe we do bring the Housing Trust Fund discussion, at least initially, into the development subcommittee, since it sounds like you've got some energy around it and are on that that subcommittee, and we can also discuss the work with Dre. So I'm gonna suggest that we put that on our agenda. What else, y'all? Anything else about the housing trust fund discussion? I mean, obviously, I think, and I think to your point about the funders together for housing justice and making some of those connections, hopefully we can get some work done in the subcommittee and reconvene and see where we are there. But I think it seems like there's some synergy for the maybe subcommittees to work together there. But all of that sounds great. Any other thoughts or comments before we move on? Okay. Next on our agenda, we're coming down to the end, y'all. The next item, Mayor and Council extension of CEHD. So let's see. CEHD will be making a presentation to Mayor and Council. I and Tisha and I will attend. And that is on June 23rd. My understanding is that the reason that there's a vote is because there was a sunset clause on the whatever got the commission started. And I think at this point, the idea is to not have a sunset after this, so it would probably be permanent, so to speak. But I guess mayor and council can always make it unpermanent. But anyway, and Chineke, I think you were gonna chime in here.
No, that's correct. That in the evening item, there is a consent item to make the commission permanent. Part of the thinking there was, as you talked about, the Housing Trust Fund, having that additional responsibility of being the oversight body for that. And unfortunately, I don't see our housing needs going away anytime soon. So rather than have to come back to the mayor and council every few years, as a requirement, the mayor suggested just removing the sunset date. That said, we do have language in there that the commission will provide regular updates to mayor and council with recommendations and information about the structure of the commission. But really appreciate that Jay and Tisha are able to attend June 23rd and provide an update to mayor and council.
Thanks, Anne. Also, the mayor told me that we are her favorite commission, and that was another reason that we're not getting a sunset. So just keep that in your back pocket.
I don't remember that part of the conversation.
Oh, am I misremembering that? My fault. Sorry about that. I think that's it for that that agenda item. So we'll take care of that on the 23rd. Keep the commission going and do a brief presentation about the work that we've been doing. So looking forward to that. And then if there are no questions about that, we can talk about our next steps and future agenda items. Obviously, we have got our subcommittees coming up, Housing Innovation and Development, June 9th, but it looks like we're going to try and reschedule that for a week later. So stay tuned there. Community engagement and collaboration, June 18th from 1 to 2:30. Our next full commission meeting is July 2nd from 4 to 6. Just occurs to me that I wonder if we want to maybe skip that meeting. I don't know if a lot of people are going to be out of town. It is also right before the 4th of July holiday. So anyway, something to think about. Yeah, go ahead, Mindy.
I think that it needs to be moved because it's that long holiday, people will be out.
Do folks think that we should try and find a new date and time in July, or just skip July and pick back up in August? I could see going either way, but just kind of want to throw that out there and take the temperature.
I'm out from I'm going to be out the first 2 weeks, and I'm going to China with my daughter. I'm definitely out for the next meeting.
Cool. Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts about, are most people going to be around? People not going to be around? Want to take a break in July or try and reschedule?
Maybe we can move it to the week after, like the 9th. I know Jim just said he'd be out, but.
Yeah, go ahead, Mindy.
I've never left Tucson in the summer ever in all my years. One day, maybe, but I like keeping the momentum going on this commission and would second Kenny's suggestion of moving the meeting if people are in town.
Okay. Well, why don't we try and do that? We'll try and reschedule the meeting, and yeah, I don't know if it's worth doing a poll to see who's available. We could just pick a new time, maybe the 9th or a different time, and you know, if people could make it, great. And if not, then you know, we just won't have quorum. But we'll work on that tomorrow when we do the agenda planning for the next meeting. The next thing is the Manufactured Home Task Force. The next meeting is July 23rd from 1 to 3. The next Pima County Housing Commission meeting is June 19th at 8:30 a.m. And as we talked about, our next commission meeting is scheduled for July 2nd, but we'll work on rescheduling that. That is all I see under next steps. Is there anything that I missed under next steps? Because if not, we're going to adjourn. Go ahead, Ann.
Not so much a what you missed, but a question. I'm thinking back to Gina, I believe her name was. Heartbreaking. Has there been conversations like for a hospital to do this is disgraceful. And I don't know if this is something I would like to know more why this is happening and what are some of the alternatives. Maybe there is stuff that's being done. I don't know. But I just thought that is just the most inhumane thing to do. And for a hospital to do it is even worse. So, a question, I guess, is that something for us to discuss or no? Or is the city already on top of that?
I mean, that is definitely something that we discussed when we were working on our recommendations regarding homelessness for mayor and council. And I'd have to look more closely, but I'm almost positive that's in there because I know that that's been brought up before. I know I've heard like the VA letting people out onto the streets and hospitals, other institutions like that. So it's definitely been on this commission's radar, but that's what I remember. Mindy?
Yeah, it was in the draft of what it was in this document we sent to mayor and council as one of the recommendations if anyone was discharged from a hospital or is, any kind of treatment center or and it has been the pra the historically when I first entered into indigent behavioral health care. We were not allowed to discharge someone from the hospital unless there was a residence that they could stay at. Granted, some of the board and cares had a hose going through a window for the shower. It was a Quonset hut with no doors. However, it was shelter and some food. And I think that as we have seen an increase in individuals that are living without shelter, I think 75% are individuals who qualify to be enrolled in indigent behavioral health care, but they are disenrolled from the Arizona Complete Health Care. The state has set mandates out that if an individual misses one or two doctor appointments or case management appointments, they are disenrolled from the system and not allowed any supports. We have been discharging people with psychiatric illnesses from the hospital for a few decades now, but it's been worse in the last decade.
Yeah, it's not something I'm not very familiar with. I worked in Skid Row, and let me tell you, that was the dumping ground for hospitals, police, jails, everything. But I just hate to sit by, and I'm glad that this commission has made those recommendations. But maybe as a private citizen, I'll do something because it's
It's
disgraceful. I I know lack of resources. I know the reality. So I just, anyway, I was wondering, and I appreciate that the commission has addressed it in the past. So maybe we don't need to do anything now, but.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things too that I believe came up when we were meeting with the mayor is how important it is for us to keep homelessness on our radar. I mean, obviously, it's such a huge problem and issue in Tucson. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with, particularly if there's like, a particular issue like this that, kind of comes back on our radar that we can't, address it again or put more focus on it or whatever. So, all of these things that, we're talking about certainly can be, further agendized for the full commission or, drop down into the subcommittees as well to, to continue to work with, because, we had some good recommendations, but, there's still a lot of work to be done. So, yeah, Mindy, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to point to be, I am grateful to the city of Tucson for taking up the slack of what the state is mandated to provide. And that I often talk about the work that the city of Tucson has done and is continuing to do for their vulnerable citizens that are unhoused. So I think we're unique. Well, there's a few other cities that I'm really proud of. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Corin. Thank you for the work that you guys do. I'll be quiet now. Thanks.
Any other final thoughts or comments before we wrap up our meeting today? Going once, going twice. All right, y'all, we are adjourned. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you,
Thank
Jay.
you.
Sure.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.